I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word. We pray for the spirit of revelation and knowledge. We pray for the spirit of understanding. Help us, Lord. Guide us into all truth. Give me utterance, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen.
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 Hallelujah. Now, We started sharing a short series of messages from the book Faith Secrets. That's Secrets About Faith. And last week we shared from chapter 27, Faith is Prayer and Prayer is Faith. Faith is Prayer and Prayer is Faith. And from that we learned, number one, that God interprets your prayers as acts of faith. God interprets your prayers as acts of faith. That means every time you pray, God sees it as an act of faith. And number two, that God sees your prayers as faith. Your prayer itself is faith in the eyes of God. Number three, God accepts your prayers as faith. God is satisfied that the fact that you prayed is a sign of faith, is a sign that you believe. I mean, if you call God God, if you see him as your God, then what would be strange is how that you never speak to him, you know, how that you never go to him in prayer, how that you never bring issues up to God in prayer, how that he's not the first to hear about issues. You know, I saw a poster, I think it was yesterday or so, the poster said, speak to God about it before you speak to anyone. We must talk to God before we talk to man. So if we claim that he is God and he is our God, then one of the foremost evidences of that will be the fact that we speak to him regularly. Our prayer lives would be the greatest testimony of to the fact that we do have a relationship with God and that he is our God. So that's faith is prayer and prayer is faith. Now, today we're moving on to another one. Faith is obedience and obedience is faith. Faith is obedience and obedience is faith. Now, we established how important faith is in the life of a believer. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11, and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11, and verse number 1. Hebrews 11, and verse number 1. Okay. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that is the biblical definition of faith, that faith is the substance of the things we hope for. Faith is the reason why the things we hope for make sense. Without faith, our hopes, the things we expect, our expectations are really hollow. They're just hanging. There's no basis for having them or for holding on to them. But faith is the substance of those hopes. Faith is the substance of those expectations, right? Now, why is faith so important? Verse 6, right there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It is impossible to please him without faith. If we don't have faith, we cannot please God. That means God cannot be happy with us. Amen. Means we cannot walk with God because God is not pleased with us. I mean, the Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? When you agree, means I'm happy with you, you're happy with me. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible. You can't please God. You can't be happy with God if you do not have faith, right? So if our aim is to please God, if our aim is to walk with God, then faith is crucial. We need faith to be able to walk with God. Then the other verse we read last week, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, that one says that this is the victory. It says, this is the victory. All right. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And the overcoming element, the power that overcomes the world, you know, is our faith, which means without faith, you can't be an overcomer. Without faith, you can't have victory. Without faith, you can't live the overcoming life. Without faith, you will be defeated. So we need faith. Faith is very important, right? We need to have faith. We need to grow our faith. And our prayer is the first sign of us having faith. And the next one is our obedience. Obedience. Obedience is the sign of faith, right? So obeying God makes you a man of faith. And faith is equated with obedience in the Bible. Faith is equated with obedience, obedience in the Bible. And a man of faith is a man who walks in obedience. A man of faith is a man who walks in obedience. If you obey the call of God, for example, you are a man of faith. If you do the things that God is telling you to do, you are a man of faith. Every time you obey an instruction from the Lord, you are demonstrating that you are a person of faith. It is because you believe that you obey. You know, so the things you obey are a message about where you stand in faith, where the Lord is concerned. Hallelujah. Let me have an amen.
Amen.
Okay. You know, everybody's on a different internet speed. So when you say amen, it just keeps coming in series. And I enjoy that. So let me have another amen, please.
Amen.
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 All right. Okay. So faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. Right? Who has faith? An obedient person has faith. And obeying God is the exercising of your faith. if you're obedient, you are a man of faith. Now, Christians must value the need to walk by faith and live by faith. Christians must value the need to walk by obedience and live by obedience. If you obey the things that God tells you to do, then you are a man of faith. If you obey the things that God tells you to do, then you are considered a man of faith. God sees you as a man of faith. God recognizes you as a man of faith. God accepts you as a man of faith simply because you did what he told you to do. And that is how you please him, because we all like people who please us. We all like people who do the things we require of them to do. And so that is a condition for walking in harmony with someone, which is that they please you or they do the things that you require of them to do. Now, you take someone like Abraham. Abraham is known in the Bible as a man of faith or the father of faith. In fact, if we continue reading in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we just read verse 6, but let's read verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and from verse 7, that's a verse, I believe, about Noah. It says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things. Hang on, just give me 1 second. Okay. All right. Okay. Yes, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Okay, so Noah believed God, and that also became righteousness to him. If Noah obeyed God, he built an ark, and the Bible says he did it by faith, right? But now verse 8 is the one I'm looking for, verse 8. Verse 8 is about Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, right? By faith, he obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. And he went to the place that he should receive for an inheritance, and he obeyed it and went out, not knowing whither he went, right? So Abraham's obedience was by faith. And the Bible says, by faith, he sojourned, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He was dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So Abraham obeyed, and his obedience, the Bible says he did it by faith. Now, if you go to the book of Romans, you see another presentation of this same fact of Abraham's faith and the effect of his faith. Now, verse 4, Romans chapter 4, sorry. Romans chapter 4 and from verse 1. Romans chapter 4 and from verse 1. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. That means he has something to boast about, right? Whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You know, can you change the version? Can you break it down a little bit so everyone can, let maybe give us New American Standard Version. Okay, New American Standard Version, if you have that. Leo, do you have that New American Standard Version? You don't. Okay. Okay. All right. Let me just read it. Let me just read it as it is. Okay. It says, but to him that worketh, verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned but of grace. Not reckoned of grace but of debt, right? That means if you actually did work for it, then it's not something you are reaping because of grace, but you earned it. That's what it's saying, right? To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. It's like it's owed to you, so you are receiving it, right? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, right? So he says that there are two kinds of people. There's one whose righteousness comes because of his actions, you know, what he did, and he has literally earned the state or status of righteousness. Then you have the other person who simply believed, and his beliefs, the fact that he believed, is what is bringing him his status of righteousness, you see. And Abraham is one of those. In verse 3, it says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham's faith is how Abraham earned his righteousness, that God saw Abraham as a righteous man, not because he got it all right, do you see, but because of Abraham's faith, the fact that Abraham believed when God spoke to him. God said, this is equal to righteousness. And it is equal to righteousness because as you believe, your belief and your faith becomes your obedience. And if you have obeyed, then you have also earned and entered into righteousness. I hope you understand what I'm sharing with you. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Right. So let me give you some examples. Let's go on to some examples right there. Number one is the Israelites' obedience to the commandment would have been faith in action. The Israelites' obedience to the commandment would have been faith in action. The Israelites' obedience to the commandment would have been faith in action. Okay. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 22. Right. And at Taberah and at Massa and at Kibroth Hatava. Wow, what a name. Okay. It says, ye provoked the Lord to wrath.
Wow.
Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God and believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Right? So here we're being shown how the people are described as having rebelled against the commandment of the Lord by not believing it. Right? So their lack of faith, they didn't believe him. And by not believing him, they didn't listen to him. And by not listening to him, they rebelled against him. So you can see how the lack of faith is being equated with the lack of obedience. The lack of faith is being equated with the lack of obedience. And the fact that there is no faith here is a sign that there is no obedience. And that is also being referred to as rebellion in the lives of the people of Israel. Right. So you see, it says, they rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God and believed him not. He believed him not. They believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Right. Number two, when you believe or when you do not believe, you are disobedient. You are disobedient. Sorry. When you do not believe, you are disobedient. When you do not believe, you are disobedient. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed. Amen. Now, you can see, it says, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now you see how it says, unto you who believe, he is precious. Unto those of you who believe, he is precious. And the opposite of that is not those who do not believe, but simply those who are disobedient.
Hmm.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
So you are either believing or you are disobedient. In other words, the opposite of having faith is being disobedient. If you don't have faith, then you are walking in disobedience. In disobedience, I'm sorry. It says, you therefore which believe, he is precious. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So it is important for us to believe, because whenever we don't believe, or if we don't have faith, then God considers us among those that are disobedient. We are walking in disobedience when we do not have faith, right? Number three, when you are walking in faith, you obey what you are told. When you are walking in faith, you obey what you are told. So the sign that you're walking in faith is that you are obeying the instructions you are given, right? And that's what we just read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. But let's read it again. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 about Abraham. It says, By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, right? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. By faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Right? Abraham went by faith, he obeyed. So you can see that when someone is walking by faith, they do what they are told. Whatever instruction God gives, whatever direction God gives, whatever word they receive, whatever message they receive, if they are walking by faith, the proof of it would be the fact that you see them doing what they have heard. Right now, God told Abraham to leave his family and to go to a place that he was going to show him. He was going to show him a place, you know, which was a rather strange instruction. By the time Abraham was leaving, he had no idea where he was going, but God said he should do it. But because Abraham had faith, the Bible says Abraham left anyway, right? And he and his sons, it says he and with Isaac and Jacob, you know, and he sojourned in places. He went to live in places, you know, and dwelt in places because that's what God said. And Abraham was just following because God had given that instruction, right? If we are people of faith, we're going to obey whatever instruction God gives us, even if it doesn't make sense, right? As a Christian, you're going to find out that there are many instructions that do not make common sense or that do not or may not agree with what the popular notion of common sense is, right? You take, for example, the subject of tithing, right? And you take something like tithing. A lot of people feel like they need more money rather than less money, right? A lot of people already feel that they don't earn enough. So when you don't earn enough and feel like you could use some more money, then rather you find a scripture that says you must give 10% of your income to the Lord, you can easily, you know, rationalize it and say, this doesn't make sense. I mean, this is not something that even God will not ask me to do something like that. Right? You see? But that is exactly what God is saying.
Wow.
Yeah, that is exactly what God is saying. And it is like telling Abraham to go to a place which he didn't know, right? God told Abraham, leave your family, leave your kindred, leave everywhere, and go to a place where I will show you. I mean, can you imagine how it was like when Abraham was leaving? When people ask him, you know, where are you going? He says, I don't know. And people asked him, I mean, can you give us an address at least so we can forward your mail or something like that? And he doesn't have any forwarding address, you know. And Abraham has no information where he's going. He's just going because God said he should go. No wonder God said that he counted that step that Abraham took, you know, as righteousness. God said, I'll equate this to righteousness because your obedience is your faith. The fact that you obeyed it is a sign that you really do believe in me and you really do believe my words. And that's how Abraham left, right? Okay. So Abraham, when he was called, he says, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, He obeyed. And when you go back to Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, let's read it one more time. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. Look at that verse again. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. Yes. It says, what saith the scripture? What saith the scripture? Right? What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You know, having faith is more important than being perfect or trying to be perfect. You know, no matter what we do, and no matter how hard we try to avoid falling into sin, you notice that most of the time we fall short of the standard. You notice that most of the time we are not the people that we wish we could be. We're not able to do a lot of the things that we know we must do and a lot of the things we know God expects us to do, right? Yet, God is showing us that, you know, the way that he judges people to be righteous it's not even so much by what they did. Otherwise, some of the people that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11 will not qualify to be there. Some of the stars in that chapter, some of the people who seem to be God's favorite people, some of the people that God seems to be making a boast about, are people who lived lives, you know, that had standards that would not be accepted by some of us in our time. Do you see? But what those people had in common was the fact that they all believed God. They all seemed to have faith. And when God sees people who have faith, God likes to be with such people. God is happy with such people because their faith translates into obedience. Do you see? And everyone is pleased with an obeying person. Everyone is pleased with someone who obeys them, you know. And that is how some of those people found their way into that chapter. Hallelujah. As you become an obedient person, as you become a person of faith, you find yourself obeying more, you know. And as you become an obedient person, God will see you, accept you, recognize you as a person of faith. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Then the last example is in Zephaniah. I don't know if you've ever read a verse in Zephaniah before, but
not really.
Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 1. Okay. It says, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God." Right? She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Right? Now, this is a beautiful verse because this one verse sums it all up, because all the elements are here. You can see that she obeyed not the voice. She didn't obey. She obviously did not receive the correction that the voice may have been carrying, you see. And that is because she trusted not in the Lord. And that also interfered with the closeness to the Lord. So she drew not near to her God. Because if you don't trust in the Lord, God is not going to be happy with you. And you cannot please God. If you can't please God, you can't walk with God, right? And if you can't walk with God, then there is now a gap between you and the Lord. So she obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. That's what it means. It means she didn't trust in the Lord. How is that proven? It's proved by the fact that she did not obey the voice. Not obeying the voice means she didn't trust, right? If you don't trust someone, you will not obey them. That is the truth. You know, sometimes I get emails in my, I get messages in my email and I don't trust the source, right? I'm sure you get some of those too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't trust the source, even though they're asking me to do something, you see. They're asking me to do something. I think the most recent one was asking me to go to, is it Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or someplace like that for free groceries, you know, right? That Whole Foods, I think it was. It said Whole Foods was giving away free, I think $175 coupons for free shopping, right? And I was just looking at the email and just thinking, you know, I don't trust these people. I don't trust it. I mean, how is it that Whole Foods will single me out you know, and send me such a coupon when I haven't done anything for them. I don't understand. I don't even know how they get to have my email. You see, so I didn't believe it. And the proof that I didn't believe it is the fact that I wouldn't obey the instruction.
Ooh.
I didn't do what they were telling me to do. Anytime you don't do what you're told to do, it's a sign that you don't trust, no matter what you say or sing or dance. It's the fact that you don't trust. It's a sign of the lack of faith.
Ooh.
That is why we disobey. That's why we don't do what we are told to do. That's why we fight the word of God. That's why we question it in our minds. That's why we argue with the preaching. As the preaching is going on, as the preacher says something, we argue. You know, you may not speak it out, but it's a very common thing for people to be arguing or doing what we call playing table tennis, you know, just going back and forth, you know. Just going back and forth with the preacher. As the preacher says this, you say, "Oh, but do you know what? How do you know because that my situation is this? How do you know everyone is supposed to be like that? Or why do you think everyone's situation is like that?" People, you know, have a battle going on with preaching all the time, especially when they are just watching the preacher on a screen. You get it. So they do it much less when the preacher is live, but even then, it goes on in their minds. Now, when you are like that, you don't benefit much from preaching. You don't benefit much from the word of God because you put up a defense all the time. When God is trying to reach you with correction, for example, look at the verse we're reading. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. You know, and then it says she trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. She drew not near to her God. She didn't get close to God because she didn't trust in the Lord. And she didn't trust in the Lord because she did not obey the voice. And she didn't obey the voice. And she didn't receive the correction. She didn't receive the correction. So even things that could be improved in our lives don't get to be improved. Things don't get better. We don't grow in the Lord because the things that must be corrected in our lives are not received when they come to us in the form of preaching. Instead, we judge the preacher. We judge his motives. We judge something. Sometimes we pick up something about the preacher and argue with that thing the whole time. And because of that, the correction just slips by. And we are not blessed by the preaching like we ought to be blessed by it. But God is speaking to us today. And God is showing us that we must have faith in his instructions. We must have faith in his word. If we have faith in his word, we will continue to walk in obedience. And there is blessing in obeying God's word. There is blessing in obeying God's word. Anytime we obey God's word, we sign up for a blessing. A very popular scripture, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The book of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible talks about the word of God and the blessing of obeying it. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Right? Therein means in there. Right? "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Right? He says, "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." Do you see? "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." So God is not just looking for us to read the Bible or to have a quiet time every day. God more importantly, wants us to do the things we're reading. God wants us to obey the things we're reading. As we read the word, whatever the word says, whatever the teaching is, God wants us to obey. Then the Bible says we shall make our way prosperous, and then we shall have good success. We'll make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to continue walking in obedience. Obedience is faith in action, right? And through faith, your life will soon be compared to Abraham's. Amen. Abraham's blessing will be yours. Abraham's blessing will be yours.
Amen.
Yes. Keep listening to messages. You see, the more messages we listen to, the more things we get to obey, right? Because the more preaching we listen to, the more instructions we will have, and the more obedient we will get to become. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not only when you listen to preaching on the topic of faith that your faith, or rather, it is only when you listen. No, let me read this properly. It is not only when you listen to preaching on the topic of faith that your faith increases. All kinds of preaching increase your faith. In other words, faith grows through preaching or through listening to messages, right? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So your faith will grow the more you hear the word of God. And the reason why your faith grows is because with every exposure to preaching, there's something to obey. You see, with every direct exposure to preaching, there is something to obey. Every preaching, every message, every teaching will give you something to obey. It will inspire you in a direction and give you something to obey. And the more we obey, the more our faith increases, because our obedience is actually our faith. And so increased obedience equals increased faith. Hallelujah. And you find that no matter what the preaching is about, so it doesn't just have to be about faith, but any preaching at all, any message that you listen to, you find that it ultimately has the effect of growing your faith. And in our church, there are so many opportunities to listen to preaching. So many, even on Sunday morning, so many opportunities. You know, my day starts with watching the prophetic encounter service with Bishop early in the morning, starts as early as 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. Okay. And it's there. And I encourage all of you to make it a point to join that service. You see, so you have that service, you have this service, and right as we're closing the service, we'll be joining Revival. Revival at 7 is another session of preaching with Bishop, with the prophet, and that's another blessing, is another opportunity. And then it goes on and on and on. And throughout the day, we have meetings, we are still listening to messages, we're sharing the word of God, and so on. So that will have an effect on you by all means. If you have a routine like that, it is bound to affect you. The more word you get into yourself, the more spiritual you become, the more things there will be to obey, and the more you obey, the closer you get to God, because our obedience brings us close to God. Yes, our obedience brings us close to God. When you obey God, God is pleased with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. Jesus actually said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. So obeying means you love. No wonder he draws closer to you, because he knows you love him. You love him for real. And the proof of it is your obedience. And your obedience is your faith also in the instructions. So loving Well, closeness to God, obedience, and faith, they're all the same thing. They're just strung together. And I think that last verse we read in Zephaniah just puts it very nicely. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. She drew not near to her God. That will not be your story from today in the name of Jesus. I pray that God will touch your heart and turn you into one of his favorite children because of your faith and because of your obedience, that you will obey God. You will trust in the word. You will receive the instruction, and the instruction will bring you close to God as you walk with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you blessed by today's message?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Right. Let us pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the instruction concerning faith and obedience, that our faith will make us obey you. Abraham had faith, and it made him obey you. Noah had faith, and it made him obey you. Everyone who has faith obeys you. And today we are asking, Lord, that you add us to those who will obey you because of the faith they have. That we will trust in the Lord. We will receive your correction. We'll receive your instruction. We'll receive your direction, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to obey you. Help us to obey you. The things we read in the scriptures, the things we hear in the messages, as well as the voice of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirits and confirming the word of God to us, Lord, we pray that we'll obey all those in the name of Jesus. We want to be people of obedience, Lord. We want to be people who obey you, Lord. We want to be people who trust in you, Lord. We want to be people who walk with you closely. We know we are not perfect, but today we are understanding that it's not perfection you require, that trusting you is even more important, that our faith rather will bring us closer to you. Our faith will make us righteous faster than our works and our activities. We pray in Jesus' name that you help us walk and live by faith. Walk and live in obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Now, while our eyes are still closed, before we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're saying that I've never given my life to Jesus before, and today I want to give my life to Jesus. I want you to say this simple prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me, Lord. And make me a child of God. I want to be a child of God. I want to serve you from today. I want to be close to you. Help me, Jesus, to receive your voice, to trust in you, to receive your correction, and to walk closely with you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now we're going to join the prophet as we have communion. So we're going to join Bishop as we have communion. Just let's go to the First Love service and let's join him as he leads us in communion. If you don't have your communion, maybe you can run quickly and grab your communion and come back, just a piece of bread and just a drink, and we will have communion together. Okay, so let's go ahead and join him.
Thank you. And when he seared the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Father, we come before you with the bread, the body of Jesus Christ. We pray and sanctify the bread as we present it. We declare, Father, which art in heaven, that this is now the body of Jesus Christ. As we feed, we receive healing because of the cross and the broken body of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Bless us and touch every life, everyone who is part of this. You said in your word, when the Lord passed through to smite the Egyptians and he sees the blood on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Let this be the portion of everyone that partakes of this amazing meal, the meal of healing, the meal of life. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. The body of Jesus Christ. And now take the drink that you have, the wine. It said, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Right now, we lift up the blood. Whatever wickedness is out there to kill, to steal, and to destroy, when I see the blood, I will not allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to destroy. Father, as we receive the blood, we pray over this drink and we say it is now the blood of Jesus. Let no darkness, no sadness, no horror, no wickedness come into our houses. In the name of Jesus, we receive your divine protection, divine healing for every family that is part of this great communion. Holy power in the Holy Communion. We receive the blood of Jesus and we thank you, Almighty God. The blood of Jesus, may it wash away all your sins, your crimes, your mistakes, and your errors, and every slip that you have made on the way to where we are. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Lift your hands.
Thank you.
Lift your hand in your house. May you be blessed. It said you shall take out a lamb according to your families. May your family be blessed. And you shall kill the Passover. May every bad thing that is passing pass over you.
Amen.
Receive divine escapes from curses, from punishments. When the punishment of pride comes, may you escape that punishment of the pride. Whatever has made you proud, so big and so proud that you don't even notice it. When the punisher comes, because of this Holy Communion, may you escape the judgment of a proud person. As Egypt was destroyed, may you not be destroyed. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Now I pray for healing. Every disease, every corona infection, every difficulty in breathing, every curse, every pandemic and danger, that Shango Sanga Tambo Kanakala Basopara, it will not come nigh our dwelling place. In the name of Jesus Christ, there shall be no bad news. There shall be no sad news. There shall be no tragic news. There shall be no evil phone call. There shall be no wicked WhatsApp message. There shall be no news flash that shakes our lives and causes us to tremble and to shake. In the name of Jesus, receive divine protection and covering. It's impossible for you to die in this pandemic. You are declared an escapee, a living testimony and a living witness of the protective power of the Holy Spirit and of the blood of the Lamb that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of Abel speaks of death, wrongful, premature death, but the blood of Jesus grants you escape from premature death. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May you not suffer loss. May you not suffer wickedness because of the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated.
Wow.
Wow, wow.
Blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.